Okay, I'm going to call the foundation meeting to order and roll call.
Director Shore?
Present.
Director Borja?
Here.
Director Ferencio?
Here.
Director Rogers?
Here.
Director Matthews?
Here.
Vice President Lara?
Here.
President Zeno?
Here. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Is there any public comment on items that are not on the agenda foundation but are under the purview and there's a 3-minute time limit? Any public comment? Yes. We have a mic.
Okay.
It's right in front of you.
If not, I can speak loud.
You got it.
Thank you. Good evening, the board members of the Desert Healthcare District. My name is Sergio Carranza, representative for the Miro. Just wanted just to definitely emphasize and continue, definitely encourage you to pay attention to what's happening in the Eastern Coachella Valley. These issues that you're hearing right now of the Coachella Valley is not something that happened just this year. It has been plaguing these communities for the last 20 years. That has been the history of my commitment in those communities. It goes from issues from air quality, infrastructure, and housing. Affordable housing has been one of the most detrimental issues that we have. These, for me, and those communities are the priorities identified as a community-driven approach in responding to those needs. So one of the things that we have discovered is that we have been able to create collaboratives, and Pueblo Unido is actively participating in different committees and different cohorts. And one of them is Lift the Rise. The importance to have both public policy and leveraging resources to those communities in terms of capital investment are the paramount objectives and priorities in order to make transformational approaches in those communities. So once again, you're going to be hearing from us because we would like to raise awareness over and over again about the priorities. And I commend the district about the need to have an assessment so that all the public policies and priorities and investment of resources can be validated, and it will give you a very informed decision to where the investment and where the collaboratives need to happen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Hi, I'm Heather again from Lift to Rise. I just wanted to follow up with what Sergio had to offer last month on the foundation agenda. Director Zendel talked about having participated in a meeting with Lift to Rise around the building of a regional investment fund. We were really excited yesterday to have Conrado and Leti and, Director DeLara and Director Borja join us as we convened more than 50 national, regional, and local investment partners, including significant national philanthropies, significant national investors. Like Sergio talked about, the work of Lift to Rise and our housing work is really predicated on how do we radically increase the supply of affordable housing and how do we reduce rent burden. And I just want to echo again that this is very strongly aligned with the work of the Desert Healthcare District. When we talk about health, we know that addressing the factors that are underneath the social determinants of health, that they pay off in the long run. And everything you've talked about tonight, from behavioral health, all of the district is making massive investments in the symptoms of housing instability. And the work, and I know I've said this before, but I'll be a bit of a broken record here again, the Desert Healthcare District was part of this work from the very beginning, when one of the core objectives that people in this room put out to us is what might we do to organize ourselves and structure ourselves to be able to leverage and draw down outside resources. We are in a position now where we talked yesterday about launching a Coachella Valley Housing Catalyst Initiative. We're going for a capital raise of $160 million, which we'll publicly announce in the spring. We have, bothering our friend from La Quinta, Linda Evans. We have the cities, we have the county, and we have philanthropy on board with us. And you guys know this, everybody wants to leverage their resources. We need the district to step up and participate with us so that we can land these significant outside investments. every bit of resource that you can put forward, we can leverage. By scales of magnitude, there is more money on the ground in the systems. And for those of you that were there yesterday, you know that this is a really dynamic approach. We also had our counterparts from the Central Valley in Fresno, who are literally just trying to stack $100 million of PRI, of philanthropy program-related investment. That's not what we're trying to do. We're going to the state for a significant loan loss reserve. We're going to philanthropy and folks like you all to help us really ground the fund. And then what we're trying to do is to get philanthropy to fill in on program-related investment, to get the private markets in. We're incredibly grateful that the James Irvine Foundation has supported us to get the technical expertise to be able to build this concept. All night long, you guys talked about wanting to break down the silos. We've got more than 50 folks, including the cities and the county. We need you guys to invest and really juice up the system. There's fantastic local developers, but we're not going to solve this problem unless we can really juice a collaborative solution, which is what we have in front of us. So I wanted to make my comment tonight. Also to echo Sergio, I just want to comment again. We heard a lot tonight about the dire needs in the Eastern Coachella Valley. The 2,000 units that we want to push, we're at the forefront. Really, you guys heard yesterday how this is really a model for the country with the county, with the cities, and with developers. We have done an inventory of 2,000 units. That includes 361 Polanco units, that includes multifamily, that includes single family, that includes land acquisition. We're really organized, and this is a place where the district stepping up could really help catalyze and push this forward. Thank you.
And just as an aside, at the last meeting that the board directed staff to help participate with you, and I've asked Director Matthews to also represent the directors in the effort for the investment fund and see what role, if any, the district can play.
Good. Thank you.
All right, let's move on to the agenda. If there's nothing else, we have the consent agenda. And do I hear a motion to accept the consent agenda?
I motion to accept.
Is there a second? Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Great. No action items. CEO report. Okay, I guess we already talked about mental health.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Program committee. And the funding announcement. Or do you want to turn that over to?
I'll turn that over to Megan.
Okay, hi again. I'll make it quick. So just a quick background. In early February of 2018, the board had a lot of discussion about ways to allocate funds for the Eastern Coachella Valley and ultimately decided on $300,000 per year for the next 20 years. And then in November, the voter expansion was approved, expanding our boundaries, and there was the question of how do we allocate these funds. And those answers to that question started with the conduction of listening forums by staff. These were conducted from February to April of this year. There are six in the newly annexed areas. They were located in Mecca, North Shore, Indio, La Quinta, Palm Desert, in the Sun City neighborhood, as well as Coachella. And staff engaged in resident-driven communications around our three community health priority areas to help to better understand the Eastern Coachella Valley. What ultimately came out of this was there was a high need for services and education to improve access to primary care and behavioral health. Currently, Eastern Coachella Valley funds in the fiscal year 2018-19, $300,000 was allocated, and then again in the 2019-20 fiscal year, $300,000 was allocated. To date, only $75,000 of that has been granted out, and that was to the Galilee Center in Mecca. That is leaving us right now with $525,000 that has not been allocated or granted. In order to expedite this process, staff is presenting a funding announcement that would create a simple, transparent, and fair process for organizations serving Eastern Coachella Valley residents or planning to serve Eastern Coachella Valley residents to access foundation funding. And the funding announcement is a direct response to these community listening forums, so they will be targeting primary care and behavioral health access. As I said, that this will be a way to distribute the remaining $525,000. It will be in two forms. One is grants that will not exceed $50,000, and then we will also provide a mini-grant application that would not exceed $5,000, and that will follow the current district and foundation grant policy. The focus will be on core operating support. This will be ultimately looking to strengthen the capacity of community partners and organizations and letting really the experts be experts and continuing the great work that they're already doing in addressing the challenges and barriers faced by the community, and then looking to support their long-term growth and development to further their missions already established. Just a timeline, this will be a rolling timeline until the board of directors decides to close it or the funds are expended. The funding opportunity will follow a two-step application. First would be the LOI, a letter of interest, and then followed by a full grant application and additional documents if pre-qualifications are met. Some of the eligibility, it will follow our current eligibility looking at organizations that are exempt from the federal taxation under 501c3. Audited financials will be required for the grants that do exceed $5,000, which is why we're also offering the mini grant. Applicants must directly serve or plan to serve residents east of Cook Street, so the newly annexed boundaries. Applicants' work must address access to care, looking at accessibility, affordability, availability, and acceptability of healthcare services and education. Preference will be given to applicants that are physically located in the eastern Coachella Valley, and preference will also be given to organizations that have not previously been funded by the Desert Healthcare District. And then we're also looking to give preference for those who can quantify and how they may leverage the funds that will be received by the district. Really high level, this is a process that's already in place, our application process, but just to give you a quick overview, we'll start with the letter of interest being submitted, and then district staff will look at that, see if there's they're pre-qualified, and reach out to that organization for a possible phone call, conference, or site visit. And if those pre-qualifications are met, an invitation to submit a complete application will be sent out. Then that once that full application and any required documents are submitted, district staff will score the application based on the scoring criteria already approved by the board and available on our website, and then ultimately presented to the program committee for discussion and recommendation. And then lastly, those program committee recommendations will go to the board. Our mini grant process is similar but way more condensed. They'll start with the letter of interest as well. The district staff will provide an invitation to the mini grant application if pre-qualified, and then this mini grant will be processed by district administration and ultimately approved by the chief executive officer, and organizations will only be allowed to apply to one each fiscal year. And this is in accordance with the current policy already in place. The grant focus, just to reiterate, it's going to be on addressing access to care, primary care, and behavioral health, looking at accessibility, affordability, availability, and acceptability, and then ultimately looking to strengthen organization capacity through this core operating support. Just some examples of eligible core operating support include, this is not an inclusive list, just to provide some examples, looking at expanding services that will deepen the organization's work to support their mission and the community needs and their challenges and barriers, exploring new organizational structures resulting in new, greater organization efficiencies, supporting recruitment and training and practices to diversify organization staff and board of directors to reflect the community that they serve, improving office functionality, and then ultimately looking at some leadership development and training. Our next step was to present this in front of the board today, and then if it's approved, we will look to, so we have a web page that's ready to go on our website that will be specific to foundation grants. We will release this funding announcement on a rolling timeline and start to use this as a guiding for these Eastern Coachella Valley funds. And we're working with a marketing director to find out the best way to broadcast this, so not only organizations who are already aware of us get this, we're looking at various newspapers, our social media, constant contact, and other means to get the word out.
All right, is there a motion to accept this proposal?
I motion to accept.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there discussion? I'd just like to say one thing. I fully support this, but I really hope we move away from Eastern Coachella Valley, Western Coachella Valley, and focus on one Coachella Valley, which is what our mission is. And I understand there's a historical part of this, but perhaps as we look at the strategic plan for next year, next 3 years, we can figure out how we morph away from this. So let's have a roll call.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perezquio?
Yes.
Director Rogers?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President DeLara?
Yes.
President Zimba?
Yes. Okay, finance.
The minutes are included for your information, and then the audit for the foundation is at your desk, at your table, and I will move approval to accept the audit, and then we can answer questions if anybody's got it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there discussion or questions for presentation of the audit? Okay, sorry.
Roll call.
Roll call.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Epstein.
Director Perezquio?
Yes.
Director Rogers?
Epstein.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President DeLara?
Yes.
President Zindel?
Yes. And I will have an update on the Summer Homelessness Survival Fund.
Okay, so today we have received, just under $20,000 to the Summer Survival Fund. So duplicated with that, with the match from the district, we're just under $40,000. We've currently spent about $31,000 towards the cooling centers. We do have additional commitments. The regional / TANAC has authorized a $5,000 contribution to the survival fund. We have not received that just yet, but that will provide an additional $10,000 to the fund. And President Zindel has created a Facebook donation campaign through October 31st, which has, as of October 17th, had received a commitment of just under $1,600. So with those combined, we have about $53,000 that can be used for this purpose. But maybe there's more information then as far as the how long the cooling centers are open, if there's consideration for going beyond October 31st.
So I would like to propose, as long as the evening centers stay open, that we can continue to draw down from the $50,000 allocated. In other words, it's not limited to the summer, but it's for the evening cooling / heating centers. Obviously, at the end of the $50,000 match, I know that we're hoping that there'll be a more permanent solution in terms of a navigation center and shelter, but at least I'd like to have the board be clear that it's okay to go beyond October 31st and continue as long as the evening centers are open. Do I hear any objection to that?
Do you want any kind of update?
Yeah, now would be a good time.
So, Cathedral City and Desert Hot Springs did close on the agreed time at the end of September. We're doing side discussions with the two churches that actually did those for maybe ongoing solutions, but that will probably be funded through the cities, but that's a it thing right now. Palm Springs did stay open. They were able to cover an additional month. I'm working with Tom Kirk at CVAG on reworking the original HEAP grant that we got to basically turn the Palm Springs facility into more of a kind of pilot navigation facility that will probably have the nighttime sleeping through the end of November. These are all details we're still working out over the next few days. And then actually transition that to a daytime facility. The issue with only having it open at night is that it's very difficult to connect people to the actual services that we need to get them to, whether that's the DMV, DPSS, the agencies that are only open during the daytime. So we're in discussions with Palm Springs. They're very excited about that discussion. They will probably be able to cover the cost through the end. What's been nice about the Palm Springs facility is that the city has pretty much covered the cost of that facility. facility. So outside of the district's actually major donation on top of the 200 that the county, or that CVAG contributed through the county heat funding. The real cost that the district has funded has been the utilities at both the Desert Hot Springs and Cathedral City sites, because both of those churches actually donated the actual facility as well. So that's kind of a brief list. Everything's still in motion. But to your point, Les, is that, you know, especially with the allocation of the $10 million to the city of Palm Springs, we're looking at how we leverage that money to actually really move forward with a permanent site, hopefully within the next year.
Just to clarify then, you're saying that in all likelihood, there'll be no nighttime shelter at some point?
So those are discussions still happening. It's just you're looking at an operation, if it's a 24-hour operation, you're looking at about a $50,000 a month operation. And it's not in the heat amount that CVAG has would not be able to cover that for probably more than 3 months outside of the other services we have to fulfill within that heat contract with the county. And the city is, at this point, not going to step in and pay for that operation.
Right, but the $10 million from the state can be used to set up the navigation center with some transitional housing, correct?
The $10 million from the state is primarily for capital investment. It's not really for programmatic use.
Okay.
But that's up to the city to decide. But the intent of Chad and Eduardo was that, because the cry from the East Valley, and rightly so, has been that those are the only two shelters the West Valley needs to have, at least, whether you want to call it a shelter, navigation center, whatever nomenclature you want to use, that was the intent of this allocation of funding.
Right, but you need more than a building.
Right, exactly. So, and those are the discussions that are happening. We could build a building, but we also have to figure out where are we going to get the operational cost for that. And so those are discussions. I mean, we're not going to have this thing built in 6 months, because we have to make sure that you have not only operational costs when you open it, but what's the sustainability of those operations.
Carol?
I just want to say that I think that money is better spent for covering people to sleep in the evenings rather than on the streets, and that there's just, from speaking to the homeless people, that they're just terrible angst about where they're going to spend their next night. And I think money might be better spent by having the social services organizations present in the evening rather than during the day.
Ideally, that would be great, but these are salaried employees through the county. They have responsibilities with their individual departments. You know, you've got technology that has to remain in county states. I mean, you may be shrugging your shoulders at me. I'm sorry, but this is the reality
I know,
that we're faced with.
I know.
It frustrates me too, Carol.
Yep.
It frustrates me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But with limited resources, we have to deploy those resources effectively. And through CVAG, through the Homelessness Committee, has for years now said we do not want to do shelters. We do not want to run shelters. A housing first model. We've bent that a couple ways this summer to accommodate. It was a great test pilot program that we did this summer, but there has to be the reality that if we do not have the financial resources, we have to look at ways to be flexible. And I know it's heartbreaking, but that's the reality.
I think that in a month or in the first night that we have 28 degree weather, we're going to be
back in the same boat,
trying to figure out how do we respond to this. So I agree with Carol that ideally it'd be great if we had 24-hour services, but we don't. So spend the money that we do have for an overnight shelter so that we don't have people freezing to death. And we'll worry about doing the 24-hour and the navigation when we have the money and we have the infrastructure in place. But I know that we're going to be, what we've experienced this year in, year out, and to wait until it happens when we have that first 28 degree weather, it seems to me, you know, just.
I understand that, but also too, we're limited in how we can spend those heat dollars. It's not for shelter. So that's the issue we're dealing with. So where do we get the money to keep that facility open at night?
Well, can we use the model that we use for the summer emergency cooling centers at night? Since they have them during the day already, they're out there. What about doing the same kind of thing we did for the emergency cooling centers at night?
So where do we get the funding?
Well, where did you get it last time?
from a one-time $200,000 TEEP grant that was returned from another organization.
Put our heads together and figure it out.
Okay. Back to the issue at hand. I just want to make sure that the board is okay with continuing until the $50,000 is gone. Okay, and I think it's okay.
I think it's okay so long as we use it where it can do the most good. And if it's just supporting what we have now, I would rather hold off on spending any more until we can figure out what happens when we have the cold weather.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is only using it for the nighttime shelters.
For the nighttime shelter.
Yeah, this
yes.
is only for nighttime shelters.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's all that
okay.
it's ever been
okay.
used for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'd like to look at ways we might be able to expand our funding to continue the cooling, warming shelter beds in the future. Just look at ways that we might do that.
Well, there are discussions ongoing. I know that Conrado is meeting with David Reddy and the people from Palm Springs tomorrow, and we'll look at ways where the district can be involved. But, you know, we've already committed $2 million, and it's being used for Housing First, and the county does have a responsibility to make sure people don't freeze in the street. So,
actually, everybody has a responsibility.
I know, but it's ultimately the county's responsibility
well,
because
that's
the county gets
legal.
The funds from the state, and the federal government goes right to the county, not to the cities, not to the district. So,
okay. I won't get into arguing here.
Okay. All right. Moving along, I think. Is there any other new business? Director comments. Director comments.
I think you've heard enough from me tonight.
Yes.
Well, that's it.
Okay. As I announced before, Director Matthews will be joining staff to help with the Housing Investment Funds to see where the district can be involved. And we're also going to be partnering with the City of Palm Springs to help realize the Navigation Center and to work on these issues of nighttime shelter. And I'm going to be the director involved with that. Are there any other staff directions or comments or announcements? Then the meeting is adjourned. The next meeting will be November 7th, a study session at 5 o'clock across the parking lot. Meeting is adjourned.
Are you invited to that?
Yes, everybody.